Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I watched Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, and there was so much background noise shit, no one's going to notice.
No one will even notice.
At this time, station KID-TV brings you the special event of the year, a first in television history. At this very moment, KID-TV has standing by a television crew at Santa Claus Workshop. And in just a few seconds, our special correspondent, Andy Henderson, will bring you a person-to-person interview with Santa Claus himself, direct from the North Pole.
Torg, come out of the spaceship.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack episode 403. Oh, can you hear the saw? Hold on a second. It's really loud. Sorry. There's construction happening in my house, but we've decided pre-show that it's okay because this movie had terrible sound work, and it always sounded like something was happening in the background, so it kind of fits. I'm Scott Johnson. Welcome to the show. We're mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm joined today by Brian. Get out of the damned radar box, Dunaway.
I can't. It's marked radar box in naps. Oh, ho, 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 no. Welcome, kids, to Santa's Workshop. A magical place so wonderful and weird that a Martian could walk right through that door and no one would even blink. Speaking of blinking, let's head over here and meet Santa's little Blinky. Currently, he is sanding down wooden toys for boys and girls of the free-loving 60s. Oh, no. What's wrong, Blinky? Do you have something in your eye? Blink once for yes, twice for no. Okay, all you're doing is blinking a whole lot. Put on some safety goggles, you weird elf. All right, over here is Slinky the elf who makes the toy that walks down... Walks where? The elf who makes the toys that walk downstairs alone or in pairs, and everybody loves it.
Yeah.
Be careful, Slinky, don't fall off that stool. Oh no, he's falling so slowly. I can't stop watching. Fall faster, Slinky. Oh, hey, look. It's Santa's little Winky. Hey, Santa's little Winky. Come on out here. What are you doing? Making something phallic shape for all the good little girls and boys? No? Checking the naughty list? Twice? Am I on there? Yeah, I am. Bye, Santa's little Winky. What a dick.
Oh, wow. Top of form today, by the way. That was fantastic. Also, oh my gosh, it's so loud. Also with us, Randy, come out of the ship, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Randy.
Listen, Scott, I'm going to need you to stop this lollygagging. And Brian, don't you think I don't see you gagging on lollies over there? And, am I being recorded? Oh, people can hear me right now? Oh, I do declare, I don't know what to say. It didn't bother me at all to boss you around like you aren't powerful, magical beings who everyone reveres, but As soon as I realize that this microphone is hot, can you hear me fanning myself? Oh, I'm so nervous.
She's the worst. She's like Aunt B on meth.
She was a perfect Aunt B. That's exactly what I thought put to.
Yeah,
first ever representation of Mrs. Claus, by the way.
Yeah, fun trivia. Never been on film before. There she is.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say by three first weeks. Impersonation of Mrs. Claus on film sack.
Oh, that's well, that too. Also that true. Yeah, no, yes. Two things at once. It can both. You can have both those things in your head at the same time.
Yeah, she was in, and she was the first representation, only by 3 weeks. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, same year, 1964.
Oh, also, the good one, the animated deal, the with the blinky nose.
Oh, well,
promotes the one that promotes bullying,
right? Yeah, so much
the one that they want to ban now, whatever.
That's right.
Even Santa's a dick. Ah,
he is a dick. Terrible. He's a huge dick. Also, and finally, with us, Brian, intergalactic kidnapping is fun, Ibbit.
Oh, it certainly is. Thank you, Skamar, and hello to you, Ranmar and Dunmar. Let's be honest. The shots are beautifully framed. The actors within them seem so realistic in their convictions, and the action is top-notch. Mm. I really can't say anything bad about 90% of this film. Now, the shots that aren't archive NASA stock footage, on the other hand... Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Can't. I hate the stand-up guy.
That's all I got. I'm done.
No, that's good.
No, that is about, you are, I think we're on the same path. I think it's going to be a Dunaway Ibbit.
Yeah, that was a very Dunaway-like intro, actually.
It kind of was, yeah. A little bit.
Well, I can't believe we're doing this, but we're watching I found out this is completely public domain. It just happens to be shown, like, in a proper format or a way for you to get it easy on Amazon Prime Video, but you can actually get it anywhere, and it's 100% legal. Because no one cares about owning the rights to it.
actually, only if you're in the U.S. If you're outside the U.S., there are copyright holders.
Oh, really?
Really? Wow. Who the hell owns that? Who owns that?
I think it's actually. Who is it? I forget. It's a distribution. It's somebody we know. Let me see. I can't remember.
Right. Somebody we know personally?
No. It's a company that we're all familiar with in the U.S. It's a U.S. company.
Oh, it's some kind of distribution company, probably. But. Right. Well, it's
somebody. I can't believe somebody would say, "Oh, they're showing Santa Claus Conquers the Martians in Norway right now. I want some money."
Yeah,
right.
Got to get some of that hot dibnars or whatever their freaking money is there.
I'm just really, really surprised that it exists. Like, a lot of times when you see these Mystery Science Theater movies, you can't like watch them otherwise. There's like, it's like they've been buried. You know, this is like one of those, but it's somehow available.
Right.
No, right, right. It's a
relic.
It's
man.
A unique one. It's a weird bird.
It is a relic of a film. Like Ibbit said, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is the title. You probably heard of it before in snickering tones. I guess there's a Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode about this one. I didn't know that. It's from 88.
No, there. Yeah. I'm not saying there is.
Oh,
yeah. There absolutely.
I'm not saying
is.
I know there is.
Yeah,
there is. There's Cinematic Titanic. There's several. This has been tackled before, but not in film sack.
No, and I haven't seen it in any of those other formats. So this isn't me going, "Hey, we should do that too." This just seemed like the right thing to do. Ibbit actually said, "Hey, we should do this." We agreed, and damn it, we're going in. This is it. Okay. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Yeah. I've just looked this up, and it's actually, I can't wait to watch this. I wish I had watched this. Mm. It's episode 321 of Mystery. It's from 1991. It aired for Christmas that year. Yeah, wow. I'm all in. Seriously.
That's not a thing you want to watch before film. Like, I wouldn't watch that before film sack because I'd be afraid of like, oh yeah, I guess I would say that, but they said it too, and I don't want to sound like I'm just ripping them off.
I mean, and we've always said, people in the very early days of film sack, like back in 09 when we started the show, we're like, oh, it's just like that. Well, no, it's not. We do a very different thing here. It's not intended to be anything like that. I at the time I hadn't even, I mean, this is embarrassing because it's kind of nerd cred being lost, but in 09 I hadn't even seen Mystery Science Theater.
Oh, I grew up on the Mystery Science.
Yeah, I'd never even seen it. So for me, it was like, no, this is, I felt like we had this most original idea ever, and everybody's like, well, it's not that original, but.
But I grew up loving all of those things. I watched the Elvira, you know, I watched all these hokey late night shows where you have announcers who are getting involving themselves in the show, sometimes even show up in the movies. you know, kind of to make fun. So I've always loved this.
I want to say one more thing about that whole tampering subject, because I'm hyper aware of it, and it came up this week. A mutual friend of ours, who we call Mercy Medical, went to watch the movie Love Actually for the first time.
Oh, I love that movie.
And she had never seen it, mm-hmm. and so people are posting about it. And that caused me to reread this amazing article by Lindy West from 2012 titled, I've just rewatched Love Actually, and I'm here to ruin it for all of you. And it's this comprehensive just slam of Love Actually, like from top to bottom. Everything wrong with the movie, all like, and it's all jokey because Lindy West is really funny.
Yeah.
And so just the, like, it's like a 4,000 word article where she just rips apart every little thing and all the mistakes and all the horrible things in Love Actually. And I actually, like, after reading that, I was like, oh wow, I can't say anything about this movie now. Like, anything I would say would just be a ripoff of Lindy West, and I kind of regret it, you know?
Right.
Covers so well.
It's a similar kind of thing, but nonetheless, we're going to dive into this one time in historical accurate representation where Santa Claus had to conquer the Martians. It is treated as such in this movie. It's funny. I can't even tell quite who this is for, because it's for kids, obviously, from the beginning, but there's a point in the middle of it where things get real gnarly. Like, there's a fight between the captain and the mustache Voldar guy. That's like
the
super
captain, the mustache. It's kind of, it is accurate.
Yeah, and it's like this. It's like this very brutal sort of fisticuffs. Yeah. That's like way harder.
Grabbing the dude's head and bashing it against the control panel behind him. I mean, that's not something that's like Batman 1960s, like, thwack, smack.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't ever grab the penguin's head and start bashing it against the side of the Batcave.
Yeah.
This was the start of something where Disney was ruling the airwaves, especially on TV during this time. And they had kind of cornered the market on this kind of entertainment for kids. And you can't remember, a lot of these people grew up on kid entertainment like Warner Brothers. Very violent. Mm-hmm. Cartoons at the movie theater and then later to TV. So yeah, that was the market. The market was definitely,
I guess, I don't know, man. I felt like this was just bad everything. Like, everything's bad. There's nothing in here where you're like, oh, okay, well, there's this redeeming thing in here. What is it?
I disagree.
Okay, give it. What is it?
I think there's some amazing things, and some people say, oh, it's so bad that it's good. I think there's actually good. Like, I think some of the portrayals, like Cho-Chum, the wise man on the Yiddish name.
Anyone else reminded of Piranha 3D?
A little bit. Okay. Cho-Chum.
Cho-Chum.
So I thought
that was, it just kind of, I like the fact that it wasn't such, just wasn't played down to kids. It wasn't talking down to kids. It was kind of addressing some real ideas and fears.
Talk down exclusively to kids. Yeah, I like, talk down pretty much to everybody. But
for its time, Cho-cha! Right? It's not. Yeah. Sorry. Oh wow, Cho-cha! You found it. That
I did.
Cho-cha!
Yeah, I kept that one. That's a good one.
This is Cho-Chum, right?
Yeah, Cho-Chum versus Cho-Cha.
Yeah, for its time, it's not condescending. Watching it now, it's so condescending that it's funny. It actually helps the film that you feel like you're watching something really old. It's like, it feels older than it is. Yeah. I don't remember the last time I experienced that. Did you all feel that, like, oh wow, this is from the 17th century?
I agree. It's in color and from the 60s, but it feels like way older than that, and it feels way more rudimentary than anything anybody was doing in the 70s. I mean, all they had to do was turn on Star Trek and learn a few technobabble words instead of words like the radar box and freaking
food pills.
We're like right at the space race. So we're coming out of the Flash Gordon kind of era and going into a more practical sci-fi, which we'll see in Star Trek in the late 60s and some other movies as well. Star Trek was in the first one. Go ahead.
Yeah.
By the way, food pills just dawned on me. If You've never had food. You live on Mars. Why would you call them food pills? Just call them pills.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just call them pills.
These are the pills we eat.
Yeah, and he's, and the dude, what's his name? Bobong or whatever. Who's the funny, supposed to be the funny one? The guy says he's supposed to be. Droppo. He's not funny. Droppo. Right.
Droppo.
Droppo is in there going,
I'm sorry. Yeah, Droppo,
ooh, banana
Droppo.
Cream. Droppo. Ooh, freaking vanilla shortcake. Like, he's saying all these foods. Right. How would you know what the hell they, you don't know what they
well,
are.
The idea.
Because they watch TV.
Oh,
right.
Gosh.
They watch TV, and also we're under the impression, and oh my God, how am I why am I explaining this movie? It's probably the greater question in the logic of it. But however, they do hint at certain things, saying like, you know, they are a reflection of what we're going to become if we don't change and we keep moving towards this technology, treating our kids with no childhood and homogenizing everything. So yeah, I mean, there's a place where we assume that the Martians at one point in time did have chocolate cake,
well,
but they've just evolved.
Sure, they've
to the
gone
point.
Gone okay. to this point where their kids are just drones. I get it. Like, that's
use
the big
all
message.
Their resources, their chocolate cake resources.
Exactly. Yeah. But they were able to inject somehow into this movie even the most stupid gender bias thing with the two with the brother and the sister that were kidnapped, because at
Billy
some point,
and Betty?
Yeah, Betty couldn't do anything but scream, and it was constantly right. Billy's job. Oh, don't worry, Betty, I'll save us. Like, it was the most
you
like
stay in the cave. I'll fight the polar bear.
Yeah,
they gave Billy all the smart words, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah. But he also had the weirdest speech impediments. Like, that kid couldn't talk very well. It was freaking weird.
Well, it was stilted because I mean the dialogue he was given to read. Once again, I'm not defending this movie, saying it was a good movie. I'm saying there are parts of this movie that were done competently.
I don't know, you still haven't told me what part it was competent.
Okay. I actually want to defend it on that level, because admittedly, I'm saying that it's possible for you to go see a community theater production of Hamlet and get a good time. Like, that's what, you know, like, that's my argument here, is that there are people who are perfectly competent actors who have a script that they've memorized and they understand how to act it out. And it doesn't, like, there were a lot of moments where I was totally sucked in to this film because people are doing a fine job. It's just all crappy. So you're like, I've set all of my expectations down so low that I'm now, like, I'm literally, this year, I'm literally talking about going to see The Nutcracker at a tiny little community theater on the Big Island, like, you know, in Waimea Nutcracker. Mm-hmm. It's like, why would you do this? But you set your expectations to a very different place, right?
Yeah.
And it's totally, it can totally entertain you.
Can you imagine how good Voldar, the actor, would be if he didn't have to act in that stupid costume?
No, he was a stage dude. All the stuff I found out about that guy, by the way, died fairly young, 59.
Yeah.
Was in a bunch of other stuff, movies and bit parts and TV, a lot of, you know, TV stuff, a lot of Macmillan and Wife and freaking Mannix and that sort of stuff. This director also, by the way, mostly famous for directing tons of episodes of old 70s and 80s shows like the ones I just mentioned. But there was a bunch of stuff about how he had always felt like this just ruined him. Like his face and his mustache were so iconic with this terrible movie that he couldn't get jobs for a while.
And the problem, I think the problem stemmed from the fact that, you know, fads come and go. And there was a fad for just a minute in the 60s, early 60s especially, that Martians were a thing that was going to be around for a while. And it seemed like a good idea, right? And then when you turn back around, you're like, wow, that was dumb.
Well, it goes back further to, like, you know, the 40s and 50s, they had all kinds of radio plays about Mars stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But once we actually hit space, all of that stuff changed completely.
No, you're not wrong about that.
We no longer looked at that kind of stuff in the same way.
You're totally right. All that stuff after 69 or whatever it was changed, and everybody had a different view of what space is. And we got either better at portraying fictional stuff and also better at portraying actual stuff. And it was that's a good shift. The problem is, I like some good cheese bag, ridiculous, dumb, old stuff. Like you mentioned earlier, Flash Gordon. I think Flash Gordon stuff is amazingly great. Like, I could sit and watch it all day. There's now, a little earnestness to it.
Is that the original TV series?
Oh yeah.
Or are you talking about the movie we watched?
Not the movie. Well, I mean, I like the movie on its own dumb way, but I like the original shorts, the serial short stuff that they would play on the matinees is just really fun, stupid, good time. And this is not. This never capture it any of that stuff. Like it just felt they're all sitting around a table poking buttons, saying "Go to Power 3." Like it's just I can't take it seriously.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like there's about 15, 20 minutes of this that I enjoyed and that I was having a good time in. And it was stuff like the really goofy toy factory that plays weird Al Hurt keyboard music while toys are coming down the... Really? The fact that kids have to keep running back and forth with laundry baskets to collect the toys.
Yeah.
But then you're right. I mean, there's like, yeah, go pull the pastel dildos to lower the landing gear and
The landing gear, the most difficult landing gear ever. Right. There's never been that much effort into landing gear.
For all, like we've mastered space travel, but our landing gear is not only completely manual, but is also the most difficult thing to operate.
Right. And then this idea of like an 8-foot. This is a confusing moment in the movie. They have this 8-foot robot named Torgo or whatever it is.
Yeah, Torg. And, get down here, Torg.
Yeah, and he wants Torg to come out and hunt down these kids, and it's supposed to be menacing and all of that. But when they first yell for him to come down, you don't see it, but the very next scene is the giant bear.
The polar bear.
The polar bear. The guy in the bear suit. So I thought Torg was the bear. And, that goes on for a while, and then you're like, oh, no, wait, there's that robot. That's Torg. Like, they were really poor at, like, stringing that stuff together.
Editing there is most likely.
Yeah. Can I get a trope alert?
Yeah,
on that,
you can get a big fat one right here and right in your face. Here you go.
So we have this thing coming that you're supposed to be excited about and scared about. And oh my gosh, Torg. And then the instant we actually get it like operating, we put a freeze ray on him. Okay, bye, Torg.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what the point was. Was there a freeze ray? What happened exactly? Did Santa use some kind of Santa mind trick on him? And he's like, you're a giant toy. You're a toy now. Is that what was happening?
That's what it was. I think it was. It was the power of toy suggestion. It's like, he can squish through a tiny tube, an airlock tube, and he can command robots to turn into toys.
Mm-hmm. I am convinced that the Martians had a freeze ray because that's the only thing that explains Mrs. Claus being frozen.
Yeah.
How Santa stopped Torg was...
No, the Martians had a plork gun. Plork.
Plork. Oh, and see, I thought the Martians used their freeze ray and Santa, like, reflected it onto Torg or something
that's an interesting concept. No, I think that Santa was given the power to turn things into toys. I think that was...
Yeah.
That's what I told myself to accept this weird-ass reality.
Hold on, he was given the power to do that, or he just has it innately? Like, what do you mean?
He just has the power innately.
The character was given that.
His mutant power that...
Someone wrote that down.
Puberty.
Right, someone wrote that down on a piece of paper first, and then someone else believed it.
Shut up, Mom. Leave me alone. I'm going to my room. Oh, my gosh. I just made an action figure big and alive. Yeah, that was like that.
Now, come on. You didn't enjoy... I've never seen John Call, but I think the guy who portrayed Santa Claus.
No, we're going to have words. No, we're going to have words. He's a horrible Santa.
He's an amazing Santa.
Yeah. The Santa, ironically, Santa was the worst thing about this movie because he comes across like such an idiot. Yeah.
You know what's like, weird about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hate to keep saying the phrase community theater, but I could seriously throw a tennis ball in a shopping mall at Christmas time and find a person who would play a better Santa in this movie. I don't understand.
Disagree. He to me, and maybe it's because I grew up with 60s Santa Claus. You probably did too, but this guy portrayed he had the you know inflections and the he was able to laugh the way you
he
would
did
expect
it wrong.
A Santa.
No, here's a laugh from Santa. Listen. That's a terrible Santa laugh.
I love it.
And I'd like to point out this killed his career too. He had an okay credit list up until this
not
movie.
Santa's career, Brian, don't worry.
Right.
No, it killed Santa's career. Santa was doing great. Right. And then suddenly this movie comes along and this one actor makes it so that kids don't believe in Santa anymore. Anyway, like he has an okay credit list and then it just stops. The only thing he ever does for the rest of his life is play a doorman in some TV show no one ever saw.
Oh, speaking of doorman, I mean, we also had Ned Wertheimer, who was the doorman for the Jeffersons, right?
Oh,
the reporter, Andy Henderson, who Santa Claus started calling him Andy, then it started calling him Anderson. I'm like, does Santa have some kind of dementia?
Love the fact that he can't write. We don't care enough about our characters to even make sure that people call him the same thing from one scene to the next.
Yeah, that's I forgot about that. I didn't know he was in an actual thing, because that girl, the girl's Pia Zadora, right? She's
right.
So she went on to stuff.
Fast forward to Playboy. What?
Yeah, no. She did a lot of weird French movies. But yeah. I mean, sure, a couple of these people you might have heard of. None of them are Trek connections, by the way. None of them. Not a single Trek connection in this entire thing, which surprised me a little bit.
What do we think about Droppo's performance, Bill McCutcheon?
He sucked. I wanted to kick him across the room every time I saw him. I hated him. He was awful.
Now, was that his performance or the character's...
He played Droppo like a clown on Sabado Gigante.
Agreed. Exactly.
Yes.
Wow, that's a good reference.
How would you play the Martian Droppo?
Droppo, I mean, he's such a bad character that I'm not going to blame the actor. It's fine.
Right.
Him or there was another guy that was like, he's a sneaky little sleazy one that hung around with mustache.
Voldar is absolutely the best.
Well, who's the guy with Voldar? Who's the one that went off?
He went off. Is it the one that was holding Droppo? Was it the one holding Droppo behind the nuclear blanket?
Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. It was like Squeezy or cheese bag or whatever. He looked like Jamie Farr. It wasn't Ringo.
Oh, yes. Right. No, it was the one that they brought in. Right. You don't see him until till right before the fight in the toy factory. And he did look like Jamie Farr.
Yeah, he looked just Jamie Farr.
He looked like
freaking
a cross
Clinger.
Between Jamie Farr and Michael Richards.
I got to say this about everybody's watching abilities. You guys watch this really close. I am impressed, because I was convinced when I was watching this, I'm like, no way did this hold anyone's attention.
Oh, I watched it very closely. I mean, he made Tina sit there and watch the whole thing.
Watch the whole damn thing.
I'm going to admit, I really worked out some kinks in my warrior control deck while watching this movie.
Yeah, it's a good time to do it. I don't blame you for that. But I tried to. I was actually going to rope my daughter into sitting down with me and doing it. She had something else come up. I feel like I haven't had to watch this poorly. I want to make this very clear. Perfect for Film Sack. Zero regrets. This is the way we go. Yeah. Not always. Sometimes we want something decent, half decent. You know, we want to be able to see an action movie that was influential but doesn't hold up today. Like, we have all these criterias on the show that are really interesting and diverse. But this is, once in a while, you just need a piece of shit, right?
Right.
And this is it, man. This is so it. And it fits the holiday. We're right here, right around Christmas. Yeah, it's seasonal. Like, it's perfect. So I want to make that very clear. But I also want to make it equally clear that Santa says ho, 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 not this. That's not Santa.
No.
Santa. No. Oh, Santa.
That's Santa.
That's Santa. It's freaky. Yeah.
And he said, like, all right, is he, I mean, on one hand, I think he's playing up the fact that he's kind of an idiot. Like, when he says, well, and Voldar accidentally locked us in the airlock and then accidentally turned on the switch to open the airlock.
Yeah.
Is it just like trying to play it up for the kids? Like, now don't hate him. Don't, let's not, you know, let's not get mad. Or is he just really, he just is such an idiot. He can't see that there's,
I think he's trying to turn Voldar back to being nice or something.
Santa.
Well, Voldar wasn't even in the room at the time, was he?
Yeah, he was.
He was. That's right.
Because he was still standing by the switch.
Yeah. I think he's
I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. He was just basically Snidely Whiplash in this thing. He was Skeletor.
He was so much better than Snidely Whiplash, even though he did have the mustache. I'll give you that. But he was just like, just the opposite of everything good. And I really enjoyed
this movie. Everybody in this movie, him included, they all inched a little too close to blackface for my comfort. Like, just a little,
which
little,
like,
too much.
I actually felt, for its time, the depiction of what Martians were wasn't so bad. Mm-hmm. Like, for its time. I would love to, I'd love to see something very different than just humans in green face, but I gave up on that pretty quickly and just went with it, you know?
I gotta say, if I could pull off a Martian cape, that was pretty tight. I like the
cape. Only one had him, though. The main guy only had it, and everybody else had
Yeah, because he was number one, and Volodar was number seven, and that was the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. The other guy with the beard, full beard, he had quite the beard. That guy.
Let's talk about the names, because I really did like how, like, their name tags or their name number tags were their first initial for their character names. So it's Voldar. Yeah. He's like B-O-1 and everybody else. But I also appreciate that they really couldn't come up with clever names for the kids. So Boy Martian, Girl Martian just get abbreviated to Bomar and Germar.
Germar.
And Mamar or Momar.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Girl Martian, Germar.
Right. How do you know this is the boy? It's Boy Martian. Bomar.
Yeah. And his dad is Kymar, which I guess is short for King Martian.
I was going to say King Martian. That's the only thing I could come up with, because he should have been Daymar or Dadmar.
So what was Vol? Is that. I know it's got to be a reference to something, though.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. The other ones, like Droppo, just completely bucks the whole system. There's no Mar, and he's a Martian. He's got to end with a Mar. Right.
Yeah, it's literally a clown name, but Voldar or Volmar. Is it Voldar? Voldar.
Voldar.
Voldar, I think, just sounds evil. I think it just sounds like an evil bad guy name.
Voldar Mort.
Yeah.
Voldar Mort. If it isn't a Dar, then it's. Yeah, that's it. But Mar, that's a family name.
It's he who shall not be pronounced properly. That's what you'd call it.
Exactly.
He who shall have a sweet, sweet stash. Right.
Yeah. What did y'all think about the three elves that were making all the toys? Because they didn't have a big budget, apparently, for elves.
Oh, my gosh. They were the best, because their lines were so stilted and dumb. When they were filmed from behind, they were kids, not little people. And then when they got frozen, they're just moving.
Yeah, they were exactly. Okay, everybody freeze.
Yeah, blinking and moving, dude. Finger going.
I'm gonna wobble. I'm falling over, director. I'm falling over.
I mean, I admit, I'll give Aunt B some credit. She held pretty still in a weird face. Yeah. Like, that was actually kind of all right. Okay, there. I said something nice about your movie. There, I did it.
There you go.
You've got the ability to go out and get some wooden toys and use those as the things that the elves are making. Why would you just have a wooden box filled with rocks that he's running a plane across? Like, well, I've come up with a great toy for kids. It's a wooden box, and we filled it with pebbles.
Right. You know,
I'm making it smooth so kids don't cut themselves on the side of the box.
Because that's what those elves do.
Yeah.
You could tell. I know a movie is good when I start making my own stories up. That's my
next. Did you have backstories for the elves?
Yeah, I had backstories for the elves. And I'm pretty sure Winky, he made a darn convincing Martian doll. And I'm curious if this whole thing was just not some Winky overworked fever dream the whole thing.
It was Winky's dream the whole time.
I would like to have the sequel, Winky's Dream.
He wanted to take over for Santa when Santa was start messing around with Mrs. Claus, Frozen. Oh perfect. Right. This thing writes itself.
Yeah, this is getting way better by the second. When he was in Martian ship prison with the kids, when Santa was in there, and he was telling dad jokes, and none of them would land on the kids. I'll admit to being somewhat amused by the fact that those kids would not take any of those dad jokes.
Those kids are every kid in this show is super depressed.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is like, I don't know, maybe they don't need toys, maybe they need some counseling.
Yeah, I love
maybe the kids just recognized what they were in more than the adults did.
I kind of have a love-hate relationship with this idea that the alien kids won't stop watching Earth TV. Yeah, yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah. I know.
There's something I hate about that, but there's also a really good depiction of this in a Futurama episode where Lur of Omicron Percy I-8 is watching their version of Ally McBeal. I forgot what it was called.
Right.
Empowered woman lawyer or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. It's very funny, like extremely funny. And so it can be done right. And obviously a cartoon can get away with stuff, but it's just so like, you're too much Earth TV. That's the problem. Right. Here, have some pills of watermelon and chicken dinner.
Eat your chicken pills and sit over here while I give you the spray NyQuil.
Right.
Oh yeah, that's the
atomized,
right.
Atomized NyQuil.
Right. She came out with them. Have to use the sleep spray on the kids tonight. Oh, we use sleep spray on the kids.
Right. Didn't somebody? She brought out milk, but it was a pill again or something. What was the deal there?
She was just carrying it around. I don't want your warm milk pill, Mom. You've been cupping for the last 20 minutes. Yeah. Get out of here.
I would like to know.
Right.
What is it? Know what our reality here on Earth would be like if we had sleep spray for the kids.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I don't think.
Well, like I said, we already use NyQuil. We just need. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just need the spray version.
Yeah. You just need to spray it down their throat. So you may as well just pour it. Not bother with the spray.
I don't think. I think the kids couldn't sleep because they were making them sleep on rock hard boxes and square pillows and under triangles and brightly lit fluorescent rooms.
That could be it. That's the way Picard slept, though, if you remember. That's the thing I always hated about TNG is everybody's beds were no way anyone sleeps on that. Oh my gosh, they're terrible.
So he was just night spraying himself then. Is that what you're saying? He's
got like night spray.
Four sprays.
I love the idea that Picard, I just can't sleep on this bed. Give me a night spray, number one.
Right.
Beverly, will you come into my cabin and bring me some sleep spray?
Beverly. Yeah,
Did y'all stay locked in the entire time Chocham was given his super slow speed?
No.
Because it was hard. It was I kind of liked it, but it kind of reminded me of when I was watching The Matrix and they were explaining The Matrix, like the old man Matrix was explaining everything. I was like, oh my God, I can't take 5 more minutes.
Oh, the guy in the room with all the screens. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I felt like Chocham was there for that. But, you know, I didn't know what Chocham was. I looked it up. Apparently, it's a Yiddish word. Meaning wise person.
I thought it was
but it's sarcastic.
I thought it was Chocha. No,
Chocha.
No, that's something entirely different.
Chocha. Yeah. Oh, probably.
Probably.
All right. Yeah. Well, the idea of a wizened old wise, you know, Yoda is normal. Right. Everything's got one. And this was it was fine, I guess. But he just seemed so emotional. It's just so.
That's what I liked about it.
No, he was just like,
meh. It was always like that too. It's like I'm gonna talk about this.
I liked it.
Children no longer have Martian Santa Claus. It's just so like out of it. I hated it.
We don't have. There are no children. They are in children's bodies.
Right, with adult minds.
I love this.
Yeah.
I seriously love this trope, by the way.
Which one?
We haven't talked about it in a while.
The old wizened guy? But
yeah. And I was thinking about how you get to apply this trope to things that are not just necessarily Yoda, right? Mm-hmm. So like in Castaway, Tom Hanks becomes his own sort of like hermit guru. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
he splits
to the point where he's talking to himself. Well, he's talking to himself through the ball. Like, I know it didn't work last time. We're going to use more rope this time. We're going to use a stronger tree to hang myself.
Yeah. I mean, we talked. We used to have a thing on the show that we actually had a thing where we point out the Obi-Wan Kenobi of the movie.
It's
a little different, but didn't we used to do that where there was like somebody was wise and leadery and had to teach the young.
It was in when we were doing our checklist. A black guy dies first. So is the Obi-Wan. Vagina looks like a cave. Looks like a vagina.
Vagina looks like a cave.
that's for my porn film sack podcast.
Right. Yeah, Brian keeps he does that on the low. It's not even on iTunes. Yeah. You just have to.
There's another vagina that looks like a cave.
Yeah.
We were hosting on Tumblr. It just got shut down. So
all that content gone, wiped out. Yeah. What are you gonna do? But yeah, like it's just a weird thing. So this idea that this is the first time Mrs. Claus ever appeared on film literally made me go hunt down proof because I was like, no way, dude. There's got to be some 1950s thing or like Miracle on 34th Street or somewhere somebody had Mrs. Claus on film. And sure enough, there's nothing that boggles my head that the first screen appearance of her was in full color. I mean, crappy 60s color, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just shocking to me. What didn't shock
me...
I
feel like this movie was colorized.
Yeah, it really did. But what didn't shock me was that the Martian guns were all painted Whammo air blasters. That did not surprise me at all.
Yeah.
They even fired...
And speaking of tropes, they have some shout-outs in this movie. The old shout-out trope. The robot Torg
is apparently just a rearrangement of the letters of Gort from the day the Earth stood still.
Oh, that's interesting.
And there's a spot where Voldar mentions being able to destroy a city with a blast of the Martian Q-ray, which is straight out lifted from the day the Earth stood still.
Wow. Oh,
now, really? That is what I thought when he said that, but I didn't put it together. That makes sense.
That's pretty good.
Wait, is somebody going to come forward and say that Groot is just, it's Gort with an extra O?
Right.
I like that you said the robot Torg, like you would say the Virgin Connie Swell. No, the Virgin Connie Swell. Yeah.
Well done.
No, yeah. Right.
Groot is clearly the word root with a gur on it, right?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. He's right. Steven Root. Nailed it.
Now speaking of Torg, Kemar, he locked that thing down because the same thing I had to do to my Alexa because if you don't, everybody be coming by and telling them to play music, so you have to lock down your Torg.
Right. Yeah, that's the way you do it. Yeah, that was all the only premonition
response to me and apparently Santa Claus.
They were predicting the future of voice assisted technology in the 2018
and the problems there within.
Yeah. So there's that.
The new Tesla Torg.
I wrote down here my notes. Here's my note. My first three notes. I thought Torg was the bear. Then it was the robot. Second line. The makeup is horrible on these Martians. My third line is Voldar is a problem.
Voldar is not a problem. Voldar is the solution. You just don't like the solution.
Okay,
all.
He's a dark.
So polar
solution.
Bear made it to my third note. I said lost level polar bear special effects. So lost apparently got the idea for their polar bear from this.
Yeah.
First note though is stand up.
Yeah. What was that about? My gosh. Also, I wrote some gnarly subtext about Mrs. Claus being a complete nag. So not only is it her first appearance, but my gosh, dude, freaking slow down.
Right off the get-go, she's horrible. Yeah.
She's like, quit talking to your visiting friends. It's like, no, you're supposed to be you're welcoming.
Here's aggressive. You could go ahead and just talk to people all you want, and maybe there just won't be a Christmas this year with no toys. It's okay. Talk to them. Yeah. Sure. Do your little.
Yeah. She was.
Yeah. Rudolph's Ms. Claus is also kind of an egg. It's just a.
No,
yeah,
she's always depicted a little bit that way and always just like, oh, Santa, you big idiot. Like, she's just that.
Does anybody have a favorite depiction of Mrs. Claus?
Yeah, I like the Mrs. Claus that they had in the Santa Claus.
The Tim
Part
Allen?
Two. Okay. Part two. Yeah, I like the Santa Claus because she's not weak. She's like, suck it up.
Yeah,
Tim.
I don't remember. I can't think of any other representations of her.
Like the movie Elf specifically skips her. Yeah. Like it leaves her out of the entire story.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Yeah. Like what is that statement? There's a lot of movies like that, but for some reason, I really, really like this really tiny little depiction of Mrs. Claus by A.D. Bryant on Saturday Night Live in the music video for Something Claus. Do you guys know that song?
I don't know
something,
that
no.
one.
Something Claus?
Not ringing a bell. Never mind. Yeah. Never heard of it. When was this?
I like when Phil Hartman does Frankenstein. Christmas. I like that. That's fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Tonto Frankenstein and Tarzan sing Christmas carols or whatever it is.
I used to love that.
I'm looking up this A.D. Bryant.
Oh, my gosh. No, we're gonna all watch this music video after FilmSack. Let's keep going. Anyway, Mrs. Claus, really strange character, not portrayed a lot, never really gets her own story, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So wait, is she, she's a cast, I don't watch SNL anymore, so she's on the show, right?
Yeah, she's the current cast.
And just knowing what I know, I'm going to predict that A.D. Bryant does this with kind of a white trash southern accent.
Yeah, she does that a lot, and then she'll do the at a place white girl rapping. She'll do that.
Yes, right, exactly.
That's her stick. It's good. All right.
Well, she looks. She plays a really good John or oh my gosh, I can't think of his name.
Oh, Huckabee Sanders. Huckabee Sanders.
No, but I bet that's good too. But.
She nails Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Like that is her one of her best.
Elton John. That's who I meant. She makes a good Elton John. there's a picture of her in here playing Elton John. It's pretty good. Anyway, all right. I also wrote a note here about the Jamie Farr thing, and now it occurs to me that his name was Kemar, and K is the first letter in Klingar. I think that was secretly Jamie Farr. That's all I'm. I was
no,
just
no,
going
no.
to put
Kemar,
it.
Kemar is the king. The dad.
Kemar's the king. Yeah,
oh,
well,
who's then? Who's number one? Who was the Jamie Farr lookalike? Who was that? What was his name?
Rick.
Was it Remar?
We didn't decide.
Yeah,
we
could be Rick now. Rick. Yeah, I don't know.
There's no cast photos, and they got kind of quick with those names.
I'm going to find it.
Because they were constantly saying, Voldar, stop it, Voldar, Voldar. Yeah. No bad Voldar.
Yeah, Voldar was always being yelled at. Okay, here it is. Bravo. His name was... Okay, Leonard Hicks was Kemar. Voldar, Droppo, Billy, Betty, Bomar, Germar. That's who it is. No, that's
Piazzadora. That's the girl. You're right, girl you're Martian.
Right.
Momar is the mom.
Who's Hargo? Who played Hargo?
I'm not sure about Hargo.
It's the
John
worst
Cahill,
name.
But
I don't mean anything.
None
I don't have
of
a
these
face
people. There's no faces for almost everybody. Droppo right. is Bill McCutcheon.
Oh, here we go. Stobo and Shim are his assistants. Shim is the big dumb guy with the that looks like Michael Rapaport with a big wart on his chin.
Oh, nice.
Like the big muscle guy that is fooled by switching the light bulbs.
Yeah,
to turn
I love
off the
that. Droppo can put together. He can't put together two thoughts, and he figures that out.
I think Stobo must be his assistant.
Yeah,
or it must be the Jamie Farr looking dude.
I'm gonna just say hats off to Bill McCutcheon or whatever who played Droppo.
Oh,
he's got credits, man. The guy's done work. Yeah, he did fine.
I mean, when you look at him, it's like, oh, this guy is absolutely. You know, he's always going to be cast in like the goofy neighbor for Green Acres or
you'll not be surprised. The screenwriter has one credit to his name, and it is indeed Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. That's the best he did. There is a book though. Oh, this
yes,
can't be
I'm
true.
Looking at it right now.
Is this a true thing, Randy? There's no way there's a book. Really?
Yeah, I had to dig because it's not on Amazon, but I found a picture of the book and a little synopsis.
Yeah,
I don't
understand
post.
Who the author is, but apparently this movie got novelized and novelized from the perspective of one of the Martians, and apparently not long after it passed into public domain is the point. Right. Like.
Wow.
This author decided, I'm going to see if people will buy this book.
It does say here, oh, this can't be true. Someone's going to try to remake this. This is being remade.
Absolutely.
Oh, with Jim Carrey in the Drobo role. Or Droppo role.
For real?
Drobo!
Are you just saying that's a good idea?
That was rumored back in 1998. Oh. I think that spaceship has sailed.
They still need to make this thing happen.
Okay, it's not happening then, I don't think.
I think there's some interesting... This is a whole. This movie we watched is a train wreck. It is trash. Oh, however, there's pieces to it that I think have value, and I think the whole idea of
it's film sack value. That's it.
Yeah, it has film sack value. It has value.
By the way, if you do a search for Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, Stobo. Mm. By the way, the guy who plays him is Alan Nessor, is the guy who looks like Jamie Farr. But you do an image search for Stobo. Conquers the Martians and Stobo, you get a picture of Jamie Farr like holding up an okay sign. It's bizarre.
Oh, that's crazy. So we're not the first
to
notice this.
You.
It is.
Yes. Before you did the search.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Don't look up Piazzadora indiscriminately.
She's done some adult stuff.
She's naked a lot in many things. All right. Well, Martian girls go wild or however that should go.
Martian girls are easy.
I guess so. She was the Martian girl, right? Yeah.
Girl Mar.
She's still with us? Hold on here.
She's still with us.
Okay. Born in she's 65. All right. Wonder what she does now. Just real quick here. Filmography. Let me just check.
Let me look.
She was on Frasier in 99 on TV. Her last movie.
Just as one of the call ins,
voice.
Oh,
only.
Was she just a call in? Oh, I thought she was one of the like a date.
Her last movie was Naked Gun 33rd and 1/3, The Final Insult in 94. And that's it. So,
that's it.
All right. Yeah. It was shorter than I thought.
She had some trouble with the law a few years ago, too.
Breaking the law. Well, all right.
Man, okay, hold on a second.
What
Maybe
is
there's
happening
something
right
to
now?
This. If you do a search for Alan Nessor, A-L-N-E-S-O-R, the third thing that comes up is Klinger controversy and Jamie Farr biography. And like
there's a conspiracy that they're the same guy.
There's a conspiracy that they're the same guy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Is hilarious.
Okay, I'm looking at him now. That. Well, okay. Now I look at this signed photo of him. He definitely looks different. You know, really, it's the nose. That's it. But it's all mixed up. Like there's Jamie Farr pictures all mixed up with this Al Nesser guy. Oh, weird.
Yeah. Yeah, look at the link I'm giving you guys in Slack. This is to a page that says Klinger controversy was Jamie Farr Stobo. And it's like it's almost like they've got a bulletin board with photos that they're connecting with lines of yarn, red yarn on push pins.
Yeah.
Just because you don't understand something doesn't make it a controversy.
Well, hold on a second.
Farr, nose, long but rounded end. Nesser, nose, long but severe hook, sharply down. Nesser, no lines around mouth. No lines from Farr.
Wow. Wow.
I love it.
Where'd you put this? Oh, it's in Slack.
I put it in Slack.
Oh, okay. I'm looking now. Oh yeah,
we're not. You know, we're not the only ones who think that that he looks like.
That's great.
Yeah, I figured that'd be a thing I thought, and then that'd be the. You know, you guys would all go. I guess I could see. You know, like it wouldn't be any big deal. Turns out there's a whole thing about it.
Oh yeah, look at that, dude.
It's not a deal to me.
It looks a lot like him.
It does. Jamie Farr's Wikipedia entry confirms he may also have played a bit part in Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
We are pushing this to the edge. Like it's important. Like it's
right. Like it's exactly. We've uncovered.
Well, he would have been old. He would have been much. So the problem is the character or the actor in this movie is clearly older.
Yeah, Jamie Farr would have been like 18 or 25 or something super young.
Super young, yeah. Although I did see him as he was a sandwich delivery boy in an episode of Dick Van Dyke Show, which was real weird. He was probably 18 or 19. And that would also have been like 61, 62. So anyway, good stuff. Hey, how about lay some clips on you like thick, wet bread?
Yeah.
You want some?
Nice.
All right.
Oh, yes. You got to give us a clip because that's the part I've been looking forward to.
Well, it's always the part I'm looking forward to, especially this movie. And we already heard this. It's a terrible, terrible. Also, you know what? At the very end of that, I swear you hear Randy laugh. Just listen one more time. Just careful. That little...
wait. One more time.
One more time. It sounds like you. I hear it. I can hear it. It just sounds like we cut you off mid-laugh.
Yeah.
All right. Here's what's his name? Anderson or whatever his name is up there doing the reporting. Okay, so here you go.
Ooh, it's cold up here.
All right. Only one way
to go. South.
Well, we've been eating frozen food because once food gets up here, that's about the only way you can have it.
I hated that. Santa never disappoints, I wrote.
Well, we've never disappointed the kids yet.
There it is again. That's not right.
We're going to bust up that bank, see?
Was he the cowardly lion from The Wizard of Oz?
It did sound like it.
It's not Bert Lahr.
No way it's him.
Let me at him.
It's kind of like that. He comes from the same school of acting, we'll say that. Here's a funny reference to the, I guess, future president. Oh, no, he would have been, because this had been Lyndon B. Johnson era, right? 64. So here's a Nixon reference.
Blitzen and Vixen and Nixon. Nixon, all right, I guess.
I know where you got it. Watch the debate.
Santa Claus the Idiot.
Yeah.
Exhibit B.
There you go. Laziest Man on Mars.
You were the laziest man on Mars.
I just said the same thing I said. All right. The Martian dialogue is really bad. Here's an example.
Mashed potatoes and a special treat for them. Chocolate layer cake pills.
Momar, I'm worried about our children.
It's like, dude, enjoy the moment. You're getting some chocolate layer cake pills. Relax.
That's right. I'm worried about our children.
She sounded like Glenda the Good Witch. Everything is sounding like The Wizard of Oz to me now.
A little bit, yeah. And now you're going to hear those elves and think they sound like munchkins. All right, here's I don't know what this is.
Gentlemen of the council, we will meet immediately at Chochum's chair in Thunder Forest.
What's wrong now?
Chochum's chair.
Chochum's chair. Look at it.
The chair of Chochum.
Yeah. There's like, how many Martians are there? There's like five of them. That's it. Right. The whole, yeah. It just never felt like a big civilization. Just felt like five Martians.
Yeah, we know. You just it's got that kind of lost factor to it. Everybody is you only see the people that we're talking about. Everybody else is there. They're there. They're just,
that was the great food pill debacle of 1963 that wiped half of them out.
Yeah, never forget. All right, here's old man. Here's the old man that Dunaway is in love with for some reason. Here you go. Here's this guy.
You called me Kima.
Dude, he's out of his misery, man. Poor guy. Who played him? Anybody we care about? Probably nobody.
No. Okay. No, I couldn't find
Carl Don.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
And he also played Von Green. Von Green. I was like, really? I was like, I have to go back and watch that.
Yeah.
I know. Who is Von Green? Do we know?
I was trying to remember. I didn't know.
Von Green? In this same movie, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm assuming he's not a Martian because that's not a Martian name, right? Or
it's not the reporter, is it? Maybe it's the reporter.
No, that's Andy Anderson Andy whatever.
Andy Anderson.
No, not Handy, that guy. The one back Andy at the Anderson. The one back at the studio.
Oh, yeah, the studio. That's good.
Could be.
Yeah, the one that was always going. Oh, breaking news! Santa's been kidnapped and taken by Martians. Hey,
we're about to go to a person-to-person interview.
Yeah. What's his name? He's probably, I don't know how he's credited.
It might be,
A person to person interview.
I need to make a person to person call, please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Connect me. All right. Here's Chochum. They need help, Chochum.
We need your advice, Chochum.
Yeah. Give us your advice, Chochum. Here's what your kids are not doing when things are bad.
Something is wrong with our children. They eat not, they sleep not. Their only interest is watching meaningless Earth programs on the video.
And listening to Slipknot.
Yeah, Slipknot. They all sound like, I got my Eagle Scout in Eat Not and Sleep Not, as well as the Slipknot.
Yeah. So Von Green apparently was a NASA worker, and I still can't find a scene, but that's...
Oh, well, there's some B-footage stuff.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, he wouldn't be...
Right. Well,
they have to credit
B-footage,
that?
Dude.
Yeah, why would they credit that? That's weird.
Yeah.
Well, no, was he the one that was all saying, like, we're gonna take this base shot and we're going out to chase after... Is that the one?
I don't know.
I think that's what he said. Oh, he was kind of military, though.
Right. There was that little scene where he was talking to reporters saying what NASA was going to do. I'll bet that's him. Right.
Yes. Yes, that must be it. Yep. Okay.
All right. Sleep not, eat not. Here's a something about Earth people.
We have another Earth person that wants to see you.
Oh, we're checking out Santa Claus. Oh, that's the other thing. Everybody has split personalities. They keep going, yes. Oh, Santa, come in the room. We're all good. And then he says, and you're never going home.
That's right.
It's like really flipping the script every time they talked. All right, here's my favorite month of the year.
It is the middle of September.
I did laugh at that.
I laughed because it's such a cheap thing. It's like, well, they're Martians, so they're weird. So what's weird? Oh, I don't know. How about a combined month name? It's just
lazy. I do like they put it in a row, so it worked out well.
September. Right. It's no worse than Bomar Germar.
Right.
September. Oh, yeah, here's Voldar doing a thing.
Bah, what nonsense.
So now, from now on, I'm just going to have at the ready.
Bah.
I'll just play that whenever
really
I want.
Bah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Bah. Hey, what's your sheep do?
Bah.
Oh, that's great. here's a... Oh, yeah, this is when he threatens that he has to do this.
We need a Santa Claus on Mars.
That's from earlier. That's old man.
Is it Chochum?
Yeah, Chochum. Yeah. I got it out of order for some reason.
Why is he so... I don't understand the attitude there.
He's barely phased in, right? Because he just like smokes out after that. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, he's just barely phased in. He's using everything he's got. He's like a Patrick Swayze in Ghost. He's like, must focus the energy to move this thing.
Where is he then? Is he not there with them physically? He's doing this from somewhere else.
I'm assuming he's not real anymore. He's in the
he's ethereal. Well, I thought he was 800 years old.
That was really not evident to me at all.
No, not either.
Well, I'm just making up shit. So
I was thinking just some sort of spirit that comes, you know, when they need wisdom, they call upon the spirit of Chochum and he appears.
But they say he's 800 years old. They said he was an old man and like actually lived 800 years old, like he was still alive. So that's where I'm confused.
Well, Right, and it's kind of that between two planes thing that I think this is a trope from old school sci-fi that we don't see anymore, and so it's like we throw it away because they did this kind of stuff in Star Trek as well, where you know there would be some being they would be talking to, and all of a sudden, boom, and it would just smoke out.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's probably just a they thought that was cool thing. It's not. I'd like to tell them it's not cool.
It's not. It's not.
No, not cool.
Which ship do we want to prepare?
Prepare spaceship number one.
Okay, we'll get that
number one.
We'll get that one going on. Because number one is clearly top of the line in front of number two and three.
That's a good one, yeah. You definitely want to be on ship number one.
Yeah. All right. Commanding your Torg.
Torg, come out of the spaceship. Torg, come out of the spaceship.
Yeah, that's a bad robot if that's how you have to do it. Yeah,
that's how I talk to my my devices.
You should have a controller, a remote controller, or something.
Play my music.
It just seems like you're talking to a Mr. Hyde or like a freaking monster of some sort. That's not how that's supposed to work.
I think that was the idea. You were supposed to assume that it was something menacing, and when it finally comes out, it's supposed to be very scary. And then of course they followed that with the polar bear scene, and we all was like, "What's going on? Why is that guy wearing a bear rug?"
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on right now.
Really, a bad bear costume. So bad. Mm. Like it wasn't even. It's not that just I can tell there's a dude in there. It's that the suit looked like someone ripped open a big, like they won it at the fair by knocking down pins.
Right.
Tore all the stuffing out and put it on top of Jeff and said, let's go. It's just dumb.
Well, they may have. Maybe that's how.
Maybe that's how it happened. All right, here's, I don't know what this is.
No, you can't take him now. It's too near Christmas.
Quiet, you.
But.
But.
Quiet, you. That was my.
But. Anyway. Here's the something about the world being united.
Mrs. Santa Claus has positively identified the kidnappers as Martians. Never in the history of mankind have the nations of the world reacted with such unanimity and cooperation.
Unanimity, jeez, just drop the big words on the kids.
About that word.
Sheesh, I don't
unanimity.
Think
so. This universe in itself is odd anyway. Because I'm like, when did we start having reporters head up to Santa's workshop and interview him in a person-to-person interview?
Never.
We don't do that.
Never. We never did it. Wouldn't do it now. Wouldn't do it then.
Put your nuclear blankets up.
Yeah.
No, but we do have the NASA has their Santa tracker thing going starting on Christmas Eve. Come on now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Where's your Christmas spirit?
Yeah.
I'm just saying this movie it doesn't prepare you for the reality of Santa Claus in our world at all. You just jump right into it and it's too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
Brian, this is what you meant to say.
Bah.
That's what you meant.
That's what I said. Bah.
Here's a Martian insult.
Martian monkeys.
All right. Martian monkeys.
Wow.
Oh, that was another trope. The leading scientist in the world, of course, is German and looks like has a huge mustache and looks like Einstein. That's always the way. Mm-hmm. Didn't like that guy. All right, here's
that's Von Green, I think.
Oh, that's Von Green.
That makes sense.
That's
that makes
Von
sense.
Green. Yeah. Makes
sense. The deal with the Martians is it's like shut up. Just be you don't have to be German. All right, here's a Santa sound that I captured. Freaking go get a lozenge, dude. You hear that?
Right.
That's him laughing in the prison with the kids and them not laughing at him.
Is he really? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And there was some kind of weird bubbling going on constantly on Mars in different places.
Oh, yeah. There are always bubble noises. Yep. Mm-hmm. In fact, here, wait. You can kind of hear
my
the
favorite is the you get that in the old space, any sort of space thing. Yeah. Star Trek probably even had that too.
Here's Santa again.
Hey. Oh, balderdash and a fiddledy-dee, Billy boy.
Balderdash and a fiddledy-dee, Billy boy. I'm going to use that for Bill on Tuesday. That'd be fun.
Right.
Belong, what? Okay.
Now you belong to Mars. Ho, ho, ho.
Okay. That's the only ho, ho, ho he gave, and it was in the fake one.
Right. Yeah.
Instead of
and
this.
Exactly. It's not a happy ho.
No, it's not a happy ho. Ho, ho.
Was this prior to our understanding of the trope of Santa having ho, ho, ho?
No. Ho, ho, ho's been around forever. There's no way.
I think we're remembering that wrong. Let me see. When does Santa start saying ho, ho, ho?
Well, the reason I know that is because he just did it here.
Now you belong to Mars.
Ho, ho, ho.
If what you're saying is true, that's the first utterance of
well,
ho,
no,
ho,
no,
ho.
Well, no, I'm not saying it's the first utterance. I'm just saying maybe it wasn't. Now we expect Santa to say it at the end of every sentence. It's like,
right,
I'm so Santa Claus, ho, ho, ho.
It wasn't common, prevalent, this sort of thing.
I'll bet we can go all the way back to the early 50s and find ho, ho, ho's. I'll bet. I could
well,
be wrong.
I don't doubt, but I'm just saying that maybe we have over romanticize the ho ho.
Well, now they just go. If you're a modern Santa, you just go ho ho
ho ho.
Yeah, they don't actually ho anything. They just sort of do it.
Right.
Oh my gosh, that made my dog bark upstairs.
Oh, there is a Snopes fact check
ooh.
On Santa's ho ho ho.
Ooh ooh, Reed, tell us.
Right. So Santa's ho 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 has been changed to ha 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 in Australia because women felt insulted by the original phrase. Is that true? Is that true, Snopes? Status: false.
Yeah, it should be false. That's stupid. I mean, oh, just because it's not spelled ho h o e, it's h o h o h o with a bunch of what's the word? Dashes in it.
or commas, sure.
No, it's usually it's dashes, isn't it? Aren't they hyphenated?
No, if it's hyphenated, it'd be ho ho ho.
Oh, you're right.
Look, it's 2018. We're not even perfectly clear on what and how to say ho 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 or not to say ho ho. So how can you judge this Santa in 1964 for only giving a ho ho ho?
I am no judge of 64 Santa. I'm not.
Yeah, no, I'm and not. This one did never ho ho ho's anyway. He goes.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
God, came out the same year as the Beatles. Can you believe that?
That's like, crazy. Came out the same year as Daryl Skeels. Daryl Skeels came out of a vagina that year. Yeah. Our Trek nerd.
That was good. That was good.
Here's a line. Oh, no, wait. Sorry. Imagine something worse than this is what I wrote. You can't do it. You can't imagine it.
No.
So Santa has a couple.
People.
Right.
Fake laughing.
Five people, yes. Santa has a couple of powers. He can turn robots to toys, and he also can make kids laugh uncomfortably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like forcibly and out trying to out loud each other.
Yep.
Right.
I can laugh forcibly louder than you. No, I can.
Yep. That's exactly right. All right. Finally, I have a line flub. They left it in. They didn't do another take. It cracked me up. And they just went with it. Here it is.
Me too.
Just a moment.
Good night, Mr. Kimar. Good night, Lady Marmar.
Just a moment, children.
There was like, she was just like her line
I'm
too
stepping
soon.
Stepping on my lines, asshole.
Yeah.
I get to say five things in this damn movie. You're going to not step on any of them.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
My favorite, if you do watch this on Amazon, if you watch this on Amazon Prime, make sure you at least turn on the closed caption for a little while and watch how many times inaudible in brackets comes up when they translate this movie. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? It just reminded me. They did leave a couple of those like bad things. And like when Droppo is doing the light bulbs.
Right.
He screws up for a second and like, tries to get it. They just took the first take. He's like unscrewing it, and then he tries to get it, and it's not going, and he's trying to line it up right like you do when you're trying to put a light bulb in.
I'm going to go with Randy with community theater.
Yeah. That's a really good point. And all these people are those kinds of actors. They all came from, small stage, and it totally fits, actually. My favorite line in the whole thing, though.
Cho-cha!
All right, moving on. Let's do a little bit of the old this-a-rooney. Look, it's the Film Sack Checklist where this movie did well. They used all my wife's facial mask in the Marsh for the Martian makeup check. It's all green and disgusting and looks like, what it reminded me of? Speaking of Kramer, Kramer got all sunburned because he put butter on his face because he thought that was the best way to sit in the sun. And then he went to visit his Native American girlfriend's family and they were all offended that he came in there with brown face, basically.
Right.
That's what it reminded me of. Anyway, the radar box shouldn't be empty. Check. I mean, what's the point? You just got a box with people can fit in. It doesn't make any sense. And then finally, Voldar is a dick. Check. Hey, Trek connections. There are none. There's a few crew things, but they're super light.
I have a Trek connection.
Oh, what?
So the director of the film, Nicholas Webster.
Yeah.
He directed 4 episodes of In Search Of, starring Leonard Nimoy.
That's a good connection.
Which is as close to Trek as a series gets. Leonard Nimoy in this thing is doing everything he can to not distract you from the fact that he was Spock.
Yeah.
Like, you watch In Search Of and you're like, oh, wow, he's like playing Spock, not playing Spock. Yeah. It's weird.
When will Turtlenecks make a comeback?
I mean, they were here for a bit because Steve Jobs kind of kept it alive, but then he died. And now they're gone again. I don't know.
No one rocked a turtleneck like Leonard Nimoy in. In search of, totally.
Yeah.
Well, it was the right era for it. What's his name wears them? George Lucas wears them now because he has to hide that freaking weird.
I had my neck. He has a turtleneck,
right? Because he's got a Gungan under there in his neck, man. It's like a big freaking flappy thing. So yeah, I don't blame him. All right, let's get to the Twitter post. Oh no, sorry, the soundtrack guy gave it a G for garbage. I thought it was terrible from top to bottom. Nothing good there. Twitter post, this is where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Let's begin with the venerable Randy.
You're going right down the middle. Santa Claus conquers the Martians. When you don't have anything better to do this Christmas season, consider attending this old, slow, weird gathering of middle-aged people who grunt a lot and wear too much makeup, just like Saturday night at Ibbot's house.
Boom! Bim, bam, boom. Brian Dunaway.
Santa Claus conquers the Martians. Like exactly what you would expect, but with 100% more chochum. Eat not, sleep not while watching this movie. Chochum out.
Chochum is an uncomfortable word, and I don't like to hear it. I hate chochum. It. Chochum. Yeah. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Santa Claus conquers the Martians. We must be at the South Pole because from here there's nowhere to go but up.
Oh,
hooray for Santa Claus.
Nice. You know what
we didn't talk about the song enough.
No, we didn't.
How the opening song is actually
hooray for Santa Claus. Did you stay through the credits? Because after all of the cast roles, they actually put the lyrics up so you can sing along with hooray for Santa Claus.
Really?
I heard it, yes. But I wasn't watching.
Oh my gosh. That's terrible.
And it's funny because they show the kids, they spell S-A-N-T-A-C-L-A-U-S, but then the kids immediately go, hooray for Santa Claus. Like, mm-hmm. You're spelling it Santa.
Right,
quit
you should
saying
be.
Saying Santy.
Yeah, it's not Santy. Very good point. Well, all right, that's all good. How about one of these? By the way, the chick in the bucket, in my opinion, is that the Santa Claus doesn't conquer anyone. Like, I really wanted a fight. And there was no fight.
There was plenty of fist fights. Yeah. But
that was Santa, though.
Yeah, that was all infighting. Yeah. I wanted like an actual conquering of the Martians. But
actually, I felt like I dropped acid near the end when Santa has his kid fight to defeat Voldar and the other baddies. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's like he beats him up with bubble guns and weird stuff.
That was an odd scene.
God, it was so long. Like all the firing balls at each other and throwing stuff and a little tank running into his foot and making him jump up and down.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it was Winky's dream. That's how most nightmares end.
I think Chochum should have
really selling me on this.
I think Chochum should have come down like Jesus from heaven and saw and gotten everybody quit fighting.
I'm Mars and Santa Claus.
Surprise! I'm Santa from Mars. You can go home.
I just got tired of delivering crap to you stupid kids.
You little shit bags.
You little D bags.
All right. The alternate titles. That's what I was going to do. They were just handed to me. This was almost called Santa Claus versus Voldar's Mustache. And then later, it was almost Droppo Dead Fred. Because, you know, Drop Dead Fred's a real movie.
Yeah,
sure. Emails come to the show. We like to read them. They send them to filmsack@gmail.com. Kevin wrote in and said the following. Hey, Sackers. If you want to see Brad Dourif, who we just saw last week in the Eyes of Laura Mars, in a sympathetic role, then I recommend that you watch Season 3, Episode 4 of Babylon 5. So 3, 4, 5. Called Passing Through Gethsemane, I guess is what that is. That never looks right. It looks like Gethsemane.
Gethsemane.
Yeah, or whatever.
Yeah.
This is mostly a standalone episode, so you don't need to know much about the rest of the series. Just pretend that it's DS9. This is one of my favorite episodes, and it contains some great acting by Brad Dourif. Or Dorif, however you say it. It's on Amazon Prime. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, I might check that out. I like that. Yeah. I also really liked Babylon 5 during its whole run, but I don't remember this episode in particular, so I'll have to go.
I don't either. That's me too. I've watched it a little bit recently on Comet. You guys get that?
No, I don't get Comet.
The Comet TV?
No. Mm-mm. Is that a TV channel?
You're
missing
out.
It's not a streaming.
It's a TV channel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it all like sci-fi and stuff?
Yes, all sci-fi. I've watched a lot of SG-1 recently, and probably need to pick back up on the Babylon 5, but it's on Prime, so I might have to do that instead.
Yeah, I want to check it out. I really like that show, and I would actually like to make I'd like to make a suggestion to the world of entertainment. Yes. Right now, there has never been a better time for a serialized week-to-week series based on a space station. Now, if you want to call it Babylon 5 and reboot it, kind of BSG file style, fine. If you want to make another return to DS9, fine. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to do something out of whole cloth, brand new. But I think now's the time. The tech is right. The streaming world of this could be on Netflix or Amazon Original or somewhere else. Like, you have a million places that would pay you for this. Like, do it. This is now your time to make a really cool sci-fi show centered on all the politics and the weirdness that is a space station, where everybody kind of comes through and leaves. And it's a great, I just think it was ahead of its time. Both of those shows were a little ahead of their time in that they couldn't quite nail the feeling of what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. This is your time. This is your place.
I do like stuff like that.
Yeah. I like it a lot. Now would be the perfect time. Get that going. All right. Thanks, Kevin. Filmsack@gmail.com is the email address. Our next film, If We Are to Have Our Way Before Christmas, will be us doing a live sacking, that is a commentary style version of the show for the Star Wars Christmas special. Now, you might say, wait a minute, that's not anywhere. Well, it is. It's on YouTube and some other stuff, and we're working out the details on that so that you guys can watch along with us. But yeah, that's the plan before the end of the holiday season, is to have that out there. When that's done, we're watching Doom. Yeah, that's right. With Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Doom. Based on the video game Doom. Not Dune. We've seen Dune already.
Yeah. We're not watching Dune. Don't make us watch that shit again.
But Dune. Oh, speaking of, by the way, Dune, the Villeneuve Dune is in filming. I'm so excited about the new Dune. I could barely stand myself. I'm very excited about that. And that's your, like, it's your director of Arrival.
Really?
I didn't Gravity was Quaron, but it was another one like that.
So Arrival?
Yeah, Arrival.
Arrival. I think Arrival was the one that's like
that. That's him. And then he did, he also did the Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah, 2049. Yep. And also did Sicario, I believe.
Is Sicario, which is amazing.
Great. It's Sicario.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Sicario, oh my gosh, so good. That first Sicario movie is really good. So that guy, I have big faith in that guy. I'm very excited about a new Dune. Anyway, so those are our movies coming up, and it's all Christmas, very exciting. We don't know when we're recording the Star Wars thing, because things are a little nuts in terms of our schedules. Randy's going to Hawaii, which we're all very jealous of, and I have a little trip right around Christmas, so we're just trying to work it out, but we'll figure it out. We'll get it in. Just like, you know, when you're trying to get pandas at a zoo to do it, eventually you'll get one to put his penis in the vagina.
Well, eventually he'll fit it in.
Yeah, he'll get it in and they'll have a baby, okay? And that baby will be a commentary track version of Star Wars, the Christmas special. Or the Star Wars, how was it titled? Is it
Star Wars? The Star Wars Holiday Special.
Holiday Special. Look at them being all inclusive.
If you put in Christmas, then you're not going to find what you're looking for.
Because isn't the holiday in there some Gavin bullshit or something?
It's Life Day. It's Wookiee Life Day.
Right. That's right. And there's a Grandpa Wookiee. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so, and a cooking show Wookiee.
I'm so excited. And the cooking show Wookiee is...
B. Arthur?
No.
Oh, no, B. Arthur's in a different
one. He's from the Carol Burnett show, that guy. He was in all those Mel Brooks movies.
Harvey Korman.
Harvey Korman, the Bantha Rump guy. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Here's a preview. I have a Bantha Rump clip, okay? So here you go. Bantha. This guy, his is him.
I'm going to be using the tenderest cut of the Bantha, the loin. The loin is very tasty and serves four nicely.
Yeah, here's another one.
I would suggest then that old popular holiday favorite, the Bantha Rump.
Yeah. He smacked it. Oh, jeez. That's fantastic. Anyway.
Harvey Korman plays three characters in this film extravaganza.
Who else in there? What else?
Krellman, the chef, and a morphine instructor.
Oh. Wow.
Morphine instructor?
They really
morphine instructor?
They really tapped him. Yeah, the morphine instructor. Put it in your veins. Done.
Class dismissed.
I feel the force.
We're going to watch that, though, and we're very excited about it. So we hope you're all having a fantastic holiday season, and send us your emails so we know that that's true. Filmsack@gmail.com. We're at filmsack.com. where you can find archives of the show and everything else you really need for the show. So go check that out. Different ways to get it, blah, blah, blah. Leave us reviews wherever you get your podcasts. I know we're on Spotify now. You can leave reviews over there. You can find us on all the usual places, iTunes, Google Play, freaking all the apps and everything. So let us know your love. Feel, we want to feel your love is what we're saying.
Aww, we don't want to lose your love tonight.
No, right. We don't. There's one song for you to remember. That's it, everybody. Thanks for being here. We'll be back next time with a whole nother episode. For me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Don't jump! Don't jump!
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Bah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.